Northern Ireland has the lowest number of GPs per head of population in the UK, just 6.1 per 10,000 patients. And some practices are reporting up to a two-week wait to see a doctor of your choice. The NHS in England, well, they're changing how it's done. They've spent about £4.5 billion in this. They've recruited 22,000 pharmacists, physios and paramedics who will then see patients with minor conditions. But who decides what's a minor condition? And would you be happy to be going to a pharmacist or indeed a physio rather than a doctor for some of the things that over many, many years, you know, you and your kids and your mum and dad, just traditionally, you're sick, you're feeling pain, you go to the doctor. Who's going to decide what this minor condition is? Receptionists will question patients about their illness and direct them to either a doctor or direct you to somebody else, direct you to a medical professional. And the Belfast GP, Dr. George O'Neill, is with us this morning. Morning, George.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, the commentator, Tina Calder. Morning, Tina.
Good morning.
You don't, you're not comfortable with this, Tina, right?
No, and I'll tell you what it is. It's not the idea of having the opportunity to speak to a pharmacist or to a physio. In fact, I would welcome that. What my problem is I don't want a non-medically trained civilian questioning me about my medical conditions, and especially in local surgeries, where 99% of the time the person knows you, they know your family, you know, and there's just this idea that it's not going to be as confidential, it's not going to be as comfortable. And I had a very terrible experience recently where I had a practice manager actually questioned my use of painkillers, not because I was using too many, but because I was using too little, so therefore she didn't think I needed them. And I was just like absolutely horrified that she thought that she had, number one, the medical knowledge to be able to have a discussion with me about them, but number two, that she did it in front of other people in the reception area. So I'm not comfortable with the sort of triage element of it at reception, but I am comfortable with the NHS, I suppose, branching out and looking for better ways to find better solutions to deliver their service.
Yeah.
Because at the minute, you know, if you're lucky, you've got 10 minutes, and that's if you're lucky.
And if some people are waiting weeks, George, to see a doctor, a solution needs to be found, right?
Oh, absolutely, Stephen. And this is a good news story here as well. We've already started this. There are three pilots at present looking at...
In Northern Ireland this started, has it?
Oh, yes, this has already started. This is up and running. Every practice in Northern Ireland now has an attached pharmacist. In the practice, this is a quality issue. It's a safety issue. It improves the quality of prescribing and it ensures that the patient gets the right drug. So this is happening as we speak. There are three pilots, one in North West, one in Down, and one in West Belfast.
Well, where if somebody goes to go to the doctor, let me understand this though, what's happening. George, let me understand this. If somebody tries to go to the doctor, a receptionist will tell them, no, don't see the doctor, see somebody else.
No, that's not the way it'll work at all. At present, what we have is our difficulty is there is increasing people with long-term illnesses. Patients' expectations are raised. There's a lot of work being moved out of hospitals into what we call primary care, into general practice. And it's becoming really complex and complicated, so it takes time to deal with these individuals. There's issues for communication between primary care and hospitals. And this is where the pharmacist comes in particular. But what we'll have, hopefully, is, and it's already starting, is what's called a first contact physio in each practice. You will go along with your backache, and you will refer yourself to the first contact physio. So instead of you having to get an appointment with the doctor, you will end up going to see the physio. Instead of making the appointment with a doctor, you make the appointment with the physio.
Well, why would you do that rather than see the doctor first?
Because the problem's going to be that we don't have, you've already mentioned it, the age profile of the GP workforce, the number of GPs are going to retire, and we just don't have the number of doctors. We've an increased expectation and increased numbers. And if you look at the profile of the population, by the year 2027, there'll be more over 65s than 60-year-olds. So there's a major issue there. And
okay.
As we get older, we get chronic illnesses. So what we're doing, Stephen, and this is really important, we are allowing people who are trained to do what they're good at. to free up others to do what they
But there's two different things here. Yeah, two different things here, though. So you're saying, look, we don't have enough doctors, okay? I get that.
Yes.
And therefore, we're trying to bring a solution to this. But
yep.
if we did have enough doctors, if we did, and we don't, but if we did, would it be better for patients to see a doctor first? In
no.
other words, are patients worse off because we don't have enough doctors?
No. In fact, what we're trying to do is address the fact that we don't have enough doctors, that patients have to wait to see their GP. So one way of dealing with this, we get other professionals who can deal with lots of things that I see. You know, lots of things that I see are social problems. Now, they're much better dealt with an expert an expert social worker, or we have mental health problems which can be dealt with better by a mental health professional. And the pharmacists are an asset to each practice. It's a quality issue. It's a safety issue. People get better outcomes if you have a pharmacist overseeing prescribing. And the pharmacists are trained to prescribe. They can run clinics, for example, chronic disease clinics, people with asthma, people with blood pressure. This improves the quality of care we give patients. This is a good news story, Stephen. This will change how patients behave. It'll allow patients to become expert in their own management. We will work with a voluntary
group. Have patients got a choice?
Well, of course they have. They'd have a choice. Yes, of course they
will.
So
they can say, no, I'm not going to see a pharmacist. I'm going to see the doctor. But they'll have to wait weeks then sometimes, right?
Exactly, where we will try and speed up the process. And if they do see the doctor, then they're referred to the physiotherapist. Then there's another wait. What would you choose? I would go to the first contact physio first. Would you not?
03030805555. Let me know what you think at home, Tina.
I just think there are massive, massive flaws in this. So it's all very well saying that this is going to create a better user experience for the person who has the illness. But take my issue, for example. I have more than one chronic illness. I have B12 deficiency, hypothyroidism, and I have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which I believe is a symptom, not a condition. Now, one of my biggest problems is I can't get the time with the doctor to have a full and frank discussion about the entirety of my issues so that I can get some sort of overall diagnostic behaviour happening. Instead, what happens is I have to go, and if I'm lucky, I'll get referred to podiatry, but I didn't. I had to go and get a private podiatry appointment and a report from there in order for the doctor to make the recommendation. I had to go to a private physio and a private chiropractor before I would get a referral to the physio in the NHS. So my issue here is that I don't believe that this is really going to improve the user experience, because at the moment where the flaw truly is that our doctors, and it's not their fault, I must be very clear on that, they don't have the time to take a holistic approach to people's health. And so what's happening is they're essentially just handing out sticky plasters. And it's not their fault. It's not the kind of job they want to do. What we have to do is hit this at the root of the problem. And we've said it time and time again on this call. The root of the problem is there aren't enough GPs, there aren't enough doctors, there aren't enough people who have been through medical school who can sit down, take some time with a patient, find out what's really going on, and use their medical knowledge to diagnose and to work out and to get to the bottom of these complicated matters. And if we could do that, if we could just get to the bottom of this stuff, well, there would be less people in the waiting room.
I guess so, Tina, what George O'Neill's asking you to do is break off from the norm. Think of a new way.
Well, that's what I have been doing. So I've been going and getting my own reports done privately at my own cost, because the NHS isn't capable of doing that for me, because they can't see the whole issue, the holistic issue of my health. All they say is, oh, you've got some pain. Well, here's some crazy painkillers that's going to knock you out for a week. Well, so I won't take those, because I want to find the reasons. I want to get to the bottom of what is causing the widespread pain.
The businessman and Conservative Party member.
But the doctor doesn't have the time to sit with me and discuss exactly what those are.
Let's see what Erwin Armstrong thinks of this initiative. Morning, Erwin. What do you think?
I'm fully supportive of the initiative, and I think everything George says is quite correct. We need to think differently. We need to use new technologies. We need to accept that a pharmacist can study for up to 8 years and is a very valuable resource. So there is a widespread reasons for people actually attending a doctor's surgery. And I think George talked about a lot of the issues where a doctor is a social worker. He looks after mental patients. He looks after things where he shouldn't even have to see the patient. One of the issues at this time of the year is people with coughs and colds. The majority of them shouldn't be going to see the doctor. We were involved in a trial in England where people were diverted to the pharmacy. 88% of the people who went to the pharmacy never came back to the
doctor. There's a certain reassurance that some people want of going to the doctor, isn't there?
I think, Stephen, you know, a doctor...
After all, it is what people pay for.
We don't pay nearly enough for health. I mean, I think that's part of the problem.
Well, that's the benefit we have of living in the country that we do. We can't blame the system. The fact of the matter is we are entitled
therefore
those benefits should be being delivered. And we're talking about people going to doctors for a small cold or a cough or a flu or whatever. Well, I currently have a friend in intensive care who would not go to the doctor for a simple chest infection and who now has pneumonia and is in intensive care at 36 years old. Now, you tell me, at what point was she supposed to go and speak to her receptionist?
Let me bring in more callers this morning. John and Lisburn. Morning, John.
I think we're overindulged in this country, and I speak from personal experience. Now, our own son was very, very ill some 10 years ago, and I know that the saline drips that they were putting into him to try and remove the poison were £300.
Well, let's not talk about Erwin's son without his permission, so let's just keep this more general.
I'm talking about my son, right?
Oh, your son, sorry.
And I've worked in the third world where people would have walked for 7 days to get to a hospital. They might have got seen, but they would have waited. And if you had to give them the very basic of medicines, they would have been thankful and grateful. And I think we're overindulged in this country. And, we need to fight for the National Health Service. And we need to get into our heads that there are no free dinners. And we need to put our money where our mouth is. And we need to pay our taxes. And, you know... I'm very emotional this morning because I've been there and seen people dying because they haven't got the basic medicines in here. You know, we have it all. And that's all I'm saying this morning, Stephen.
John, thank you. Tony in Lagmore. Morning, Tony.
Good morning, Stephen. Right, that girl who was on earlier spoke a lot of sense. You know, see some of the things that it happens in the doctor's surgery. Now, I was got a blood test about 7 months ago myself, and they sent for me. You're borderline diabetic. You'll have to see a nurse, to set me up with a dad. That was 7 months ago, right? Then there's no other thing about prescriptions.
And has there been any follow-up?
No. Now, this is in the doctor's surgery itself, right? And the prescription said, there's a big notice saying, get your chemist to collect your prescriptions for you. So, of course, I went to the chemist. Will you collect my prescriptions, right? I have a lot of illnesses, Stephen. I have osteoporosis, arthritis, fibromyalgia, blah, 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 heart condition, asthma, right? And that's what we need to start with, right? And I got the chemist to go down, and they wouldn't give her the prescriptions. And this went on for a couple of weeks. And then the chemist phoned me up and says, oh, you have to go down and stay in a form to ask us.
I think we're going off on a tangent here now, Tony, what we're talking about.
But you understand me. It's the lack of coordination and even inside the doctor's surgery.
Okay. George O'Neill?
David, how can I get me? This, I've got to emphasise, this is a good news story. This is multidisciplinary teams operating in general practice premises to improve the outcomes for patients.
Yeah, but you've got to bring the public with you, don't you? Yeah,
of course we have, and this is part of the system. I'm trying to explain it, that this is good news for the individual. It will free up doctors' time to deal with more complex cases that have been referred to that take extra time, because lots of things that can go to other people will go to them. The outcomes will be much better for the patients because we've seen an appropriate individual. And also we start looking at the health promotion and disease prevention. You've heard me say this again and again, Stephen. I run an illness service. We have to start looking at a health service where we can empower people
to look after their own health and to improve their outcomes.
Okay.
There's a big piece of work to be done, and you are part of this and communicating the message out to the population at large.
Chris in Belfast. Morning, Chris.
How you doing, Stephen?
Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say that my father says, although he's passed away now, he says, but he was one of the best pharmacists in the country. He says, and people used to actually come to him whenever he was in the shop and so on. People used to actually come to him before going to their doctor. He says, because they knew fine rightly they would get, he would give them good advice, probably better advice, because he knows an awful lot more about pharmaceutical products than probably the doctor does. So I think a lot of people should bear that in mind whenever they're talking about, I don't want to go and see a pharmacist.
Yeah.
Because the doctor knows best.
Well,
the doctor uses an internet a lot more.
Well, and George O'Neill, you're saying that this is part of this is about informing the public today.
Absolutely.
So how well qualified is a pharmacist? Like, what do they know?
Well, Stephen, to give you an example, I did pharmacology at Queen's as part of my training in the 60s. We have brilliantly qualified young people coming out of pharmacy school at Queen's with first-class honours, with master's degrees and PhDs. They certainly know more about pharmacy than I would.
But hold on, pharmacy and being a GP are two completely different professions, because if they weren't, you would be doing the same qualification.
I would take
at the end of the day.
Well, they're not completely different, are they?
I had a wonderful conversation with my pharmacist just yesterday. A fantastic conversation about medication, about brands, about why it works, why it doesn't work, etc., etc. And it was brilliant and it was informative, and I would like to have more of those conversations. But I am fairly sure that what I couldn't have with my pharmacist is those conversations that you sit down with your doctor and you tell your doctor everything that's going on, how you feel.
All right,
about
we're tight for time this morning. George, do you want to respond to that?
Well, the pharmacists really have a major contribution to make, and I think they're a wasted resource, and I've always thought this. I think there's a quality issue, there's a safety issue. And my view, and it's an extreme view, I should make a diagnosis. I then send the person to the properly qualified pharmacist to decide the appropriate medication. That, to me, would
really?
Be the ultimate outcome. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We are dealing with people on polypharmacy, multiple drugs, drugs that need to be monitored. We need to have people who are on top of their game, who know about all the interactions.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Gwen's in Warren Point. Morning, Gwen.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I have two concerns. Basically,
Well, we've 1 minute before the news. Quickly, please.
Yeah, most GP appointments are tied up due to free prescriptions, because they're all in looking for Chapal and Sudocream, because they won't buy a couple, spend a couple of time, or else people don't turn up to their appointments. They've done that there, done away with some free prescriptions instead of free for everything. You might need anything else.
Okay, Wayne, thank you very much indeed. Dr. George O'Neill, thank you. Erwin Armstrong, Tina Calder, thank you.